The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We started with that song this morning, and to honor Doug Jahnke, he's a hot rodder, he's a racer. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Nick. How the heck are you?
I'm good. Tell us about your racing. Didn't you say you're going to Phoenix or something? You got invited to Phoenix for a Hedrick racing team?
No. No, not quite, but my side gig, as I've mentioned on the radio, is I'm a coach at a racetrack. So I've coached at Laguna, Sonoma, and yesterday I was actually at Thunder Hill and was tuning up because this coming weekend I've got a race down in Sonoma. So I'll be racing there for 2 days this Saturday and Sunday. But the group that I coach with, they are throwing on an event down at Circuit of the Americas, COTAs, down there in Austin, Texas, where the Formula One race is held at the end of the year. And I have to get down there, and I'm going to be going down, pick my sister up, take my brother, but I'm going to be coaching down at Circuit of the Americas in May 31st, June 1st. So I'm going halfway across the country to go do some coaching.
When you coach, what do you do?
Well, yesterday I was group leader, so I stand in front of the group and basically tell them what they're doing wrong, give them tips on how to do it right, and then in the olden days before COVID, before the sham, I used to get in the right seat with them. And so, you know, I could be in a $2.2 million McLaren P1, I could be in a $500,000 Ferrari, I could be in a $13,000 Honda Civic. So whatever they were driving, I get in the right seat, and literally I try to get them to go as fast as they can. And till now, nobody's ever put me in the wall, so that's a good thing.
Have you had any people that show up that don't have a clue that you really have to babysit them to show them how to drive their new $2 million car?
Well, actually, back in the day, there was a car that came out called the GTR from Nissan, and it, at the time, was the fastest car on Earth. It was actually the 0 to 60, I think it was 2.7 seconds, which at that time, now the Tesla Plaid beats that. But back in the day, about 7 years ago, that was the fastest car. And this guy had went through two other coaches, so they tried to coach him. He wouldn't listen. Second coach wouldn't listen. So they came to me, and I have a bit of a reputation for getting into the hard-ass cars. And we go out, and after four laps, I'm yelling at the guy, and I'm like, get in the pits. Let's go in the pits. So he goes in the pits, and we take off the helmets. And he's like, yeah, what's up? And I said, sir, with all due respect, you are the worst driver I've ever seen. and you're going to kill yourself and someone else. So your day is over. Get off the racetrack. And so, yes, to answer your question, we have had, on occasion, dangerous drivers. Unfortunately, they get to be driving 130 miles an hour, and that becomes really dangerous.
I was reading an article quite a while ago, and some little girl down in Los Angeles had just wrecked her dad's Porsche that he had waited for 2 years after he ordered it, and she took it out and totaled it. So he just ordered him another one.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, one of the first track days I got to do many years ago, the Porsche, what the heck was it? The Porsche Carrera GT, which at the time was the king of the hill, and it was, I think, 600,000-ish is what they were getting for it. And I show up to Laguna Seca, and I wasn't a coach. I was a paying customer then. And this guy and his wife are out there, and I just hear this coo, 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 coo. And this guy pinwheeled off the wall. Totally destroyed this car. But the thing that was interesting is his wife forgot to put her chin strap on. So not only was the car pinwheeling, her helmet flew off. So the next guy coming up the road at Laguna Seca thought a head got popped off. So, yes, we have seen some totaled cars, and it's sad, but that's the place where you get to use them because you can't do it on the road.
That's right. I see some of these new Corvettes around town hot rodding.
Oh, yeah.
I suspect a few of those will get a ticket.
Well, you know, the funny thing is you know, the modern cars, even a Toyota Camry, is damn near as fast as a an old muscle car. You know, 0-60 under 6 seconds, quarter mile in 13.5, 13.7. That beats most of the muscle cars that us old guys used to go, oh, my God, that's a Mustang. That's a Hemi. These cars now are, you know, getting 35 miles a gallon and with luxury.
And that Tesla, it's just amazing how quick it is.
Oh, yeah. The Tesla Plaid, I think, does 0 to 60 in 1.8 seconds, 0 to 60. That's like being on those roller coasters that we've all ridden on. You know, you sit down and it just shoots you out the cannon. That's what it feels like to be in a Tesla.
And it's a four-wheel drive family car.
And a four-wheel drive family car that you have to have an electric cord and an extension to keep with you the whole time. So we got cars going. So, hey, Nick, what are we talking about today? Because I came in a little fired up, and I know you've got some stuff. What do we got?
Oh, we've got all kinds of stuff, but I wanted to give the weather report today. This is beer drinking weather. Do you know the times when it's right to drink beer?
It's when you can't go outside and everything's going to blow away.
No, beer drinking time is when it's raining and when it's not raining, and this is one of those times.
Why did I fall for that?
Disappointingly, I don't drink beer anymore.
Well, that's probably a good thing. I can't even imagine if you were intoxicated.
Well,
you're crazy enough as it is now.
It's all supply and demand, and when I quit drinking beer, the demand went down, so the price went down.
Well, you know, if you'd stood around for a little bit longer, you'd probably be drinking Bud Light right now, you and Dylan Mulvaney.
Kind of got a crush on him.
I know. I'm telling you. So you got notes and papers. Nick, your side of the desk is the mess. Mine is always clean.
That's right. I like to be...
You're organized. You've got a lot of stuff to bring up. What's up?
Well, I wanted to talk about the tariffs. Tell us about the tariffs.
You know, I had this conversation with Carl the other day because he had me on the first Thursday of the month as you got me onto it. I get what he's trying to do, and I don't think that it's necessarily wrong because if you don't understand the tariffs part of it, it's when you import something, the country that it goes to is taxing you for coming into their country. And in many countries, well, in most countries, our goods are taxed at a much higher rate than what we tax. I mean, America is the dumping grounds for the world. Japan was world famous. The only reason Toyota, Nissan, and them are worth a damn is because they used to dump cars below the cost of building until they dominated the market. And
criminals,
then,
rapists, well, drugs.
Yeah.
We're pretty much the dumping ground, aren't we?
For everything. So, so Trump is trying to say, look, if you're gonna do this, we're gonna punish you. And, the mindset is the right spot. I think the thing that I liked most about his State of the Union was when he specifically mentioned the reciprocal tariffs, which is basically if, the country of Nick charges me 15%, the country of Doug, United States, we get to charge 15% on your stuff. Now that makes complete sense. But of course, you know, they're now retaliating. Now they're raising theirs. I think I read that in Quebec, the Quebec, governor shut the power off or was going to shut the power off to the city of New York.
Let me ask you something now.
Yes.
I read that Trump was putting tariffs on Canadian goods, so they're going to cut the electricity off to the United States.
That's what I'm saying. They were going
to
do that.
Well, who else are they going to sell the electricity to? It seems like they're slitting their throat at the same time.
You know, that's the problem is, you know, these so-called...
We'll save it for you.
Yeah. Well, we'll put it in a Tesla battery. that's the whole thing is when you're the biggest consumer of their stuff, and then they want to punish us as we're punishing them. Both sides now start to kind of get this, we don't have the same market they have. They now don't have a customer for their electricity. And, it's going to be tough. So,
let me read you some of these tariffs that Canada had on the United States.
Oh, it's crazy. Go ahead.
Eggs was 163%.
Yep.
Eggs is a big deal now.
Yes,
you know,
it's
gone down $1.85 because of Trump.
Yeah.
I don't eat eggs, so I could care less. Milk, 270% tariff.
Yep.
Cheese, 245%. Chicken, 238% tariff.
Yep.
Copper, 48%. Cars and TVs, 45%.
Yep. Well, my wife worked for the old Wisconsin Cow Lumber Mill, and the great liberal idiot, Mr. Bill Clinton, signed the Roadless Land Act, which basically took millions and millions of acres of our forest offline. It became cheaper for us to actually buy lumber from, because we had no tariffs, we had nothing, it was just an open border because of NAFTA, it became cheaper for us to bring lumber in all the way from the middle of Canada than to get it out of, you know, Whiskey Town or Shingletown because of the tariff situation. Is, you know, we lost the ability to actually harvest lumber, and it became cheaper because we didn't have tariffs on their stuff, but they beat the heck out of us on those.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
so
I know.
You're saying the reason we didn't log our forces is because of the tariffs situation.
Well, I'm saying no. Bill Clinton.
Spotted Owl didn't have anything. You know, that Spotted Owl was as phony as.
Absolutely.
The COVID.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that guy's now admitted publicly that he was wrong. But no, I'm not saying.
Oh, well, it's okay now.
Yeah, it's okay now.
Let's double his pension.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that the tariffs had anything to do with that back then. I'm just saying that when Bill signed that Roadless Land Act, literally, Wisconsin-Cal was bankrupt within 6 months because all of their contracts were now unharvestable. And so as the United States, we became, instead of a lumber exporter, we became a lumber importer. And it's because we had no tariffs, and they were just dumping their logs on us for free. I mean, literally. So the tariffs, to get back to it, Nick, I get it. I think that the intention is in the right spot, but it's going to cause some short-term, long-term pain. Inflation is going to go up. Things are going to get more expensive. And
we're going to go to clip number five, something Trump did you might be proud of.
Okay.
Anytime you're ready, Ben. So I got stuff about the water reservoir that was dry. I've got stuff. Do you know Hunter is vacationing in South Africa?
Oh.
And he's broke. But Joe gave him Secret Service protection, I think, for life. Usually for presidential kids, it stops at 16. He took 18 Secret Service agents with him to South Africa for 2 weeks.
My wallet felt lighter. Now I know why.
That's right.
That's crazy.
I got number five pulled up for you.
We're ready.
All right, here it comes.
I always felt that the UN has tremendous potential. It's not living up to that potential right now. It really isn't. Hasn't for a long time. It has. There are great hopes for it, but it's not being well run, to be honest, and they're not doing the job. A lot of these conflicts that we're working on should be settled, or at least we should have some help in settling them. We never seem to get help. That should be the primary purpose of the UN, the United Nations. And again, it's got great potential, and based on the potential, we'll continue to go along with it, but they got to get their act together.
He just signed an executive order.
Has tremendous potential.
He just signed an executive order withdrawing from the UN Human Rights Council.
I think we should withdraw completely from the UN, from NATO, from the, well, he did pull us out of WHO, World Health Organization.
Well, he's sending a message to
him. But we should just pull out of the UN. UN is nothing but a group of liberals who get together in New York on our cost, and when you read stories about the diplomatic immunity those guys, the havoc they create in New York, because they're allowed to park anywhere, you can't give them a ticket. If you arrest them, it's a massive international incident. Kick them out of our country. Get them out of here. Make other countries pay for it. And what you will see is it will quickly, like all liberal things, fold, dust, and become a remnant of history. It does no good whatsoever. Now, if you go, well, they do, you know, projects down in Africa. Think of this, folks. I mean, this is something I heard years ago. I'm like, oh, that's kind of racist. Now I'm older and I go,
yeah, it is racist.
Well, hold on. Look at all the money we have. I mean, Thomas Sewell, I had one of the greatest, and Ben Carson also touched on, I believe, in that, stop sending money to these countries that we try to go as humanitarian. Stop it, because the more money we give them, the more dependent they become, the less they become self. I mean, look at it. We've been giving trillions of dollars to Africa for 50 years. It's worse off now than it was 50 years ago.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I wonder how much of that money got there.
Probably not a lot.
About 10%.
Yeah, probably not a lot. And it's funny, as I know this lady, and she's in this group, and her and this group of ladies, they pull their money together, and I think it's once a year or once every 2 years, and they've got money. They go down as a group, private citizens. It's a religious thing. They go down, and they drill a well in the middle of nowhere. And it, you know, that's private money doing something, and now all of a sudden the indigenous peoples out in the middle of nowhere have access to water. But if they raise the money, they go down there as a group, they meet with the locals, they spend the money, and then they come home and they feel good about it. And that's great. I love that. But we don't need to be in the UN. There is no reason for new UN. There's no reason for NATO.
I heard when they got down there that if they didn't hit water, they were going to eat them for dinner.
there may be more incentive. Well, apparently they, here's capitalism. Apparently the way that I go, well, so how do you guys, and they say, well, there's a guy down there that we met years ago, and we were able to get him money, and he bought a drilling rig. And so he has kind of become the de facto drilling rig person in this, I don't know if it's Nigeria or wherever it's at, but he makes money, hires people, they show up, they drill these wells, set them up, and, that's private industry. That's private people doing something that's actually good. The UN does nothing good. It wants war because then it gets to say and have that. And then when you have the Human Rights Commission and China's on the Human Rights Commission and Venezuela's on the Human Rights Commission and Cuba's on the Human Rights Commission.
Well, they've earned their spot on there.
Yes. They know the abuses. They're looking for new ideas.
You know, I know a builder here in town, and I was told on his vacations he goes to underdeveloped countries and builds schools for them, schoolhouses.
Oh, wow.
And he's a local guy here.
Well, that's good. See, that's, again, private citizens doing that. If you want to raise $1 million and take it to Africa or South America, that's awesome. Great. But I don't think we as American citizens anymore, we're broke, folks. I'm just going to tell you straight up what the government and Mr. Trump will not tell you. We are flat broke. We're $36 trillion going to $37 trillion really fast. We don't have the money to pay for this stuff anymore. We need to cut ties. We need to get out of these organizations. NATO is a useless, worthless organization. Russia has no westward expansion dreams, mythology, nothing. They know that if they were to take on one NATO country, they'd bring the United States into the conflict. So all of this stuff you see on the liberal idiot media, and I can't help but use those words because we've been called that for now 16 years, starting with Obama. There's no westward expansion that Putin has. And actually, the war in Ukraine is American caused. If we hadn't put our fingers in the middle of Ukraine, it would be a peaceful. There'd be millions of people still alive in that region right now.
Kind of like Afghanistan and Iraq.
If we had left our, I believe the last thing I read that I thought was reasonably accurate is the United States has somewhere around 800 bases around the world. Why do we need 800 bases around the world?
All we need is Greenland.
Yeah.
We need to go after Australia, too. They don't have guns.
Well, that's true. I've been down in Australia. I lived down there and played baseball for a year, and I can tell you, they're great people. And you want to have a fun time, go to a bar with a bunch of Australian guys. They're not very smart and nice to the women, but for guys, it's a heck of a time to have some fun.
We have to watch our P's and Q's around here.
I tell you. So, speaking of taxes and raising money and all stuff, you want to talk about that new thing that's been floated around. What do you know? Because I got to be honest, living up in Shingletucky where the people bark and the dogs talk, I haven't followed it much. So inform me.
A couple of months ago, at least right after Mike Littaw was elected, he came on the show with Carl Bott. And he was saying that we are going to have a 1 cent tax, and he had it all figured out. So we're going to put signs. The way we're going to get this is we're going to put signs. This road will be paved if we get this 1 cent tax. This ballpark out here will have turf and be cleaned up if we get this 1 cent tax. To me, it's rewarding bad behavior because I see how the city of Reading has wasted money over the years. I'm against this 1 cent tax. I've got a letter from the subject. This is a citizen-led tax initiative for the November ballot. And what they're going to do is they're going to get signatures. I don't know how many they need to put it on a ballot. And it is a specific tax. But the thing is, if it's citizen-led, it only needs a simple majority.
Oh, really?
Yes. I asked our county attorney that, and he said, yeah, that's right. So that was something new. Let me read this. This is from a guy named Dennis Morgan, Citizens for a Better Reading. On behalf of the Citizens for a Better Reading, I am writing to inform you that a group of engaged residents has formed a committee with the goal of placing a citizen-led specific tax initiative on the November ballot. The ordinance language and revenue allocations are currently being drafted. I'm going to skip a little bit. The initiative is designed to address critical community priorities, focusing primarily on public safety and infrastructure, with additional funding allocated for our city parks. While the city's current budget challenges highlight the urgency of funding shortages, this message is not merely a response to immediate fiscal concerns. Rather, it represents a long-term investment in the well-being and stability of Reading. The proposals aim to maintain and strengthen police and fire personnel levels, establish a partnership with Shasta County Sheriff's Office to develop new custody programs aimed at addressing repeat offenders, bridge the infrastructure funding gap left by the state's gas tax, ensuring the repair and maintenance of Reading's 900 miles of roadways, provide necessary funding to enhance for the enhancement and ongoing maintenance of our beloved and widely used city parks. Well, you know, that's kind of a specific tax has to go to a certain thing. They need to pin it down. This is where it's going. And it's a city tax. It's not a county tax. I would question how they're going to partner with the city of Reading to take care of repeat offenders. They've got 1.9 acres south of town on East Side Road that the county has its eye on. In fact, they're in negotiations right now to build some kind of alternative incarceration center. The thing is, it'll be a day center because it'll be a lot cheaper. If you keep them overnight, costs go up by a magnitude of 10 or so.
Oh.
If it's an in-and-out, you can't spend the night here, it's not so bad. I don't believe in that, but that's what they're shooting for, because we're not going to get a jail, period.
No, not at the modern projections for cost to do it, the cost to man it, maintain it, and then especially with Mr. Johnson's wheel or spoke approach, where you're going to have like five or six different things.
Well, that's the same thing. They just changed the name.
No, but I'm saying so. You're going to have to man it. You're going to have to go and get the people, the psychiatrists, the counselors, and we don't even have enough to barely fill our jail as it stands now without those services. And Nick, you know, the problem is we already give enough of our money. Okay, you and I and everybody listening already gives enough of our money. It's just wasted by our government. Our government is horrible.
Our city of Reading government.
Our county government.
The county's not near as bad as the city.
No, but my point being is we're one of the least densely populated counties in the state, and we have a pretty good tax base between everything that comes in, and yet we're still broke. Our roads still suck. We don't have a jail.
We have well-paid county city employees.
Yeah, we have well-paid
they
city
have
employees.
They have a wonderful retirement.
Very good pensions.
You know, I've got an old saying: we take damn good care of our culls, don't we?
Well, you know, it used to be that when I was growing up back in the 70s, you know, people who worked for the government were lower paid, air quotes, but they had retirement, they had job security, and that was the agreement for going to work for the government.
But now he made us a suburban county.
Well,
that means they could pay a lot more.
Well, I mean, you know, now we've got a city manager for Reading whose compensation is equal to the president of the United States. I mean, almost $400,000+ a year. Over 400 grand. To manage a city in Northern California. You know, that money has to come from somewhere. I mean, we have the highest gas tax in the nation. We pay plenty of taxes on every gallon of gas. And then I believe that they just instituted that green carbon tax for 42 cents. It just kicked in. It raised our prices up yet again as the rest of the country is going down.
Is that what it was? 42 cents?
I think it was, well, they originally wanted 58 cents, and that received some holy hell, so they actually dropped it down, and I believe it's 42. And I noticed this morning coming into town, my little Honda Type R is going to need premium at $5.09 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
If I left the state and crossed the border into other states, I'm down into the 380s. So we have plenty of money here. We squander it. We have high
our government
overhead.
Employees squander it. I don't squander my money because they don't leave me very much anymore.
No. Well, it's funny as Leo, you remember the gentleman who used to be with us for about 3 months on the radio? He's over in Thailand, and he's getting a job offer that could make him get, you know, do well. And they asked him, would he go back to Holland? And he said, why would I go back to Holland? I'd already been a 50% tax bracket, then the sales tax is 21%, then the car tax, then the gas tax, then this, then that, and the tax. He goes, I'd be giving up probably 90% of what I make if I went back to Europe. He goes, no, I'm not looking to go back to Europe.
We're
getting close.
We're going to go to a break pretty quick. But Michael Tall claimed that half of this tax would be paid by tourists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Break time.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Reading Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Festa Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Experience glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Glowing Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Reading Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back. Hey, everybody, to get this second segment started off, I'd like to do an unpaid promotional PSA for everybody. Manton Corners, Sweet Shoots, the new thing going on up there, really well done, such a cool place. They have a solo artist, Patty Anglin, doing a solo set from 3 to 5. The beer is cold, the place is warm, and, you know, the people actually speak English up in Manton. I was kind of surprised. It was weird. So come on up. My wife and I are going to go check it out because we're now localites living up there for 6 years. They almost welcome us. And that's 3 to 5 at Sweet Shoots, the corner of right there at Manton Corners, I think is what they actually call it. So there's my PSA.
I've got a couple of them here. I want to remind you to shop local at your small businesses and your small restaurants especially. I go to Don Sandwich Shop. I do the windows there. And they have got absolutely the best value for a sandwich. Hot homemade sandwiches. They cook the meat themselves. You sit there and you tell them how to make it right in front of them. And if you haven't tried there, go over there. They've got homemade desserts and homemade soups.
Where are they at?
They're off Bocelli Lane, right next to Hutchins Auto Repair.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, hey, you know what you told me, and since we're on this little PSA, you had mentioned many, 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 many months ago that you had eaten at Norm's in Palo Cedro. So Liz and I went there on Friday. You know, everything's expensive, so I'm not going to sit there. The prices were not discount, but they weren't overpriced for today's world. But their French fries were the best in Shasta County.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, my gosh. They were crisp and brown, and they were just hot. So if you guys are French fries lovers, Norm's in Palo Cedro, right next to Holiday Market, highly recommend it. They were great fries.
I read where she's wanting to sell it.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Within 6 months.
Well.
Okay. And I think at the end of the article it said if she doesn't sell it, she'll stay there.
Well, I
got
to tell you.
But I know they've got great food.
Yeah, it's very good food. I got it down. So there you go. Three PSAs to start the second segment. What's up?
And Ace Valley Hardware on Hartnell.
Okay.
Every time I go in there with a problem, they can tell me how to fix it. My washer broke.
Yeah.
It's just leaking water everywhere. I crawled into there and I found a hose that's broke. And whoever had worked on it previously took epoxy and put the hoses on. So all I could do is take my Sawzall and cut them off. And where do I go from here? I went in there and they set me right up. Then I went over wandering around. They've got a new garden center.
Yeah.
Right next door to it. And there was this good looking gal there. Her name is I can't remember her name. Shyla.
Well, we get to say gal anymore. Now we can have genders again. So I'll let you
Sheila.
Do that. Sheila.
Sheila. She is a horticulturist. She did such a good job pointing me out to plants and stuff. I needed something to poison some pests around the house.
Oh.
And she got me set up with that. So anyway, thanks, Sheila.
There we go. So now we've got four PSAs. Let's move on to the news.
Okay, getting back to the taxes. They
yes.
added to the cannabis tax.
Yeah.
They wanted to go from $3 per square foot, I think it's for grows, to $10 a square foot. And Tanessa Audette wanted to drop to 7, and Aaron Reasoner wanted to drop to 5, and you should have seen the cat fight. There's a couple of them they've had now. It's kind of interesting watching them express their different views, but I thought this was interesting. After the meeting, Reasoner explained her concerns about the council counting on a positive result from the proposed tax measure, telling Shasta Scout, "History has shown that the residents of Shasta County would rather prefer subpar roads, less public safety, and aging parks rather than pay 1% more in local taxes." I can't think of a more false statement.
Well, ignorance and stupidity sometimes hide in plain sight. The reason that it was never voted through is because you need a certain threshold for the tax to be specific, and otherwise it's a general. What general means that you raise the tax, it goes into the general fund, can be spent for anything. So all of the fancy words about, well, we're going to do roads, we're going to do, you know, law enforcement, we're going to do fire. If it's not a specific tax, it goes in and then it disappears like the rest of the money. So that is completely a stupid statement, because it's not that we didn't want it, as Anderson has shown.
They spent our money on other things.
On other things that we were not promised. That's why, starting with Bassetti, is he tried to get the first one through, and it was going to be was going to be a specific tax, and he couldn't get the threshold. Then after that, they've all just been kind of general, and people are like, no, I'm not giving you any more money. We're just not going to do that. And like I told you during the break, folks, we pay enough money. We have enough money. The problem is it is blown by people, bureaucrats, and politicians who don't. I mean, if you tell me to spend your money, Nick, I'll spend it. But if I'm going to spend my money, I'm going to spend it differently. And that's the problem with politics, is they spend your money and they don't have to account for it. And then they have that, you know, that whole thing. It's use it or lose it. So I award you whatever for 50 grand. And at that point, if you don't spend it at the end of the year, you lose it. So no matter what, you're going to waste the last 25 grand just so you can use it. That's just doesn't make sense.
My position is, and always has been, that court-ordered rehab doesn't work, so I'm not in favor of this life center or wheel or whatever you want to call it. And I am in favor of and would vote for a specific tax for a jail. But this city tax, it doesn't do the county any good at all. And what is more police officers going to do for us if we don't have any place to house our criminals?
Well, and that's it. Is, you know, technically speaking, I think
you'll write him a ticket.
Well, and I think Johnson was on with Carl, and I also think I heard Barner, the chief, mention that their interactions are about 80 to 85% with the same people over and 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 over. Imagine if you could lock those people up. 80% of the cop load would disappear. They wouldn't, you know, they would have time to be proactive, to show up when there's something going on. But they're interacting with the same 80% of the people all the time, because there's no place to put them.
You know, let me ask the audience a question. I've been told numerous times that 30, 40 years ago, locking them up wasn't working. Well, how's this working for us?
Yeah, how's not locking them up working for us?
Yeah, really?
So, you know, I was talking to you before the show about, you know, things going on in the Trump administration, and I am so happy we're getting rid of the woke, the DEI, that part. I hope Dan Bongino and Cash Patel literally clean cancer out and go after all of the people who have inflicted this upon us.
If they do that, that'll make up for Trump's mistakes.
Well, if they do that, I have hope. But the problem is as you and I were talking, you know, it's my opinion, and this is an opinion show, so it's my opinion that Trump's doing all the same crap he did before that's going to lead to bad outcomes. You know, they have a mandate. They have both houses and the presidency. They have the mandate to reduce spending, to lower the deficit, to start paying down our debt. And what do the rhinos and Trump do? They want to raise the debt by $2 trillion in the next 12 months. We can't already pay the credit card that we've already been given, so we're going to take out another credit card to pay the credit card that we've got. And the one senator or the one congressman I think that is really spot on, I mean, just really sharp, Ron Paul is really good, but this guy takes Ron Paul to the next, and that's Thomas Massie. Very fiscal conservative, very, very straight. Here's the facts, and he said he would not vote for raising the debt ceiling and paying, you know, and going further in debt and paying for the boondoggle. Well, Trump immediately, you know, jumps on that and starts attacking him personally. The one guy in Congress that I think is worth a hoot, and Trump starts attacking this guy and says, I'm going to primary you. That's just small ball. That's just stupidity. He's got one guy who's actually a real fiscal conservative who really gets what's going on in America, and Trump's threat to run a candidate against his own party, that's the problem. And it's not going away, and he's not going to do everything that – he's not even going to come close to doing what he said he's going to do, because we're going to go deeper in debt, and the tariffs are going to hurt for a while. And one thing I'd also say to Trump and his group of merry people – stop doing the Biden I was going to use a bad word. Stop doing the Biden crap. Be honest with us about what is the real inflation. I can tell you, anybody that's listening to our show right now, if I asked you, do you really believe inflation's 3%? Everybody's shaking their head and laughing right now. But yet, that's what the government keeps force-feeding. Even the Trump government's telling us it's 3%. They're lying to us. Tell us what's really going on.
We're going to move on because we want to cover a couple of other things.
There you go. Rant for today.
But the thing is, I will live under Trump's dictatorship rather than where we were going with the other idiot, Kamala Harris.
1,000,000%. I voted for him 3 times, so
he's only been in there 2 months.
I know. I believe in it. I voted for him 3 times. But I'm seeing things that I'm like, don't do that to us. Be better than that.
Tuesday at the supervisors meeting, they're going to talk about changing the public comments.
Okay.
And it's going to be interesting. The little bit I gathered about it is they would like to change it to 1 hour when the meeting starts, and then people that didn't get to talk during that hour will have to wait till after the consent calendar. The reason they changed it to start with is we had county staff sitting there waiting for comments to get over, and sometimes them comments would run 2.5-3 hours. The same old people would get up and say the same old thing, so they changed it till after the consent, and that was working pretty well, but I guess it was a bunch of whining. So it's going to be a lively discussion.
It's short anyways, 1 hour.
Yeah. Well, that's what they want to move it to, is 1 hour.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
1 hour in the morning. Everybody will have a chance to talk.
Yeah.
But you might have to wait till the end of the meeting or after the consent calendar to get the Pacifics go to the meeting. We're going to talk now about a gal that didn't get on a committee that she volunteered for, the Mental Health Committee. Her name is Dawn Duckett. And Dawn was on the failed recall committee, and she made a lot of comments. She went along with the mainstream and their dishonesty, and then she got onto the Elections Integrity Committee, and after about 3 meetings, she quit, and she didn't get on it. We talked about it a little bit last week. Well, it's last meeting, there was some whining about her not getting on it. So we're ready for clip number 2, if Ben's ready. And this is Susan Weiss.
Okay, I'm just making sure you were talking about Don. So we're going to do clip number 2. It's coming up right now.
All right. This is Susan Weiss. She was a recaller, failed recaller.
Followed by Jenny.
By all the failed liberals.
Followed by Larry.
I'd like to commend Dawn Duckett for speaking up for truth of what really happened to her. And Benjamin, his speech was excellent. Benjamin, good job. One of the speakers got up today and said, put people who agree with you on the boards. And that's what's been happening for the last couple of years with with our past board is they only put people on boards who agree with them. You know, the supervisors are, if this is not a political job, you're not hired to be a Republican or a Democrat or have let your political leanings ruin your governing. And I've seen so much, this is the last board, but I've been here for several years watching, so much revenge policies and politics when it comes to choosing people because they're not the right people, they don't have the right makeup, they don't have the right character, they maybe worked on the recall. Does that make us bad people and non-thinking people? Does that make us incapable of caring about our county because we were on the recall? No, it doesn't. I'm as much a patriot as anybody in this room. And I expect you guys to get a variety of choices in what you make for people on these boards. We need everybody's opinion. Thank you. Is that it? Oh, you know, if you look back, Mr. Long and Mr. Plummer, all the positions that have been taken away from people that are very competent in their jobs and replaced with people who go along with the past board's political leanings. It's pathetic. Thank you.
I thought it was quite pathetic before this board got on there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's funny, she said it's not a political thing, and yet she's bitching because her people from her political side are not getting on there.
You only put people on there who agree with you. Well, why wouldn't you?
Well, exactly. And the best part is, you know, what she's basically saying is, so put people on that agree with me, and then we'll be okay. It'll be all right if you put people on that agree with me.
And revenge politics. Somebody gets up there and says blatant lies about you.
Yep.
And you're supposed to just forget it. No, you want to be on this? We're going to go to clip number three here. This is Don Duckett, and it sounds like sour grapes she didn't get on this. So let's go.
Morning, Board. I want to talk today about the decision that was made to not appoint me to the Mental Health, Drug, and Alcohol Advisory Board, which I respect the decision, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about the politicization or politicizing those issues or those appointments and the political theater and bullying that happened during a couple of the appointments at the last meeting. Supervisor Kellstrom, you sort of wanted to paint me as a disruptor or somebody that wants to divide the community. So I just want to let you know that before that being on the agenda, I went to the people on this side of the room and I said, listen, I don't want a long line of speakers speaking for me. My qualifications should stand on their own merit. I don't want a social media campaign. These meetings are long enough, and I don't want to add to the circus-like environment here. So what they did was they stood down. I said, let it play out, and they did. And what the public saw that day, and it was particularly sad to me because this room was filled with people, some of whom had never been to a board meeting before, and I heard from quite a few of them. And what they saw was a citizen volunteering for a committee fully qualified that was bullied by this board, some of these board members, and their followers. I think we can do better than that. So you don't have Mary Rickard or Tim Garman or these people to blame for that political circus. It falls squarely on your laps. Thank you.
I think it falls squarely on the recaller's laps. If you recall the lies that they said, and she was right there repeating them.
Yep.
Kevin cost us millions of dollars by canceling the Dominion vote counting machine.
Turned out not to be true.
Oh, no. He saved us money by doing that. Yeah. They just went on and on and on. The one that really stands out is he signed a contract with Wind River.
Yep. I was just going to bring that up.
And, you know, it's cost us millions and millions of dollars. When the fact we weren't getting 10 cents to start with, but the fact is it wasn't his contract, it was Tim Garman's contract. He's the one that negotiated it.
Well, and the thing is, if you were on the recall, it shows that you have complete lack of integrity and honesty, because everything you guys said turned out to be, like all conspiracy theories that we've been called wax were for years, everything you guys accused Kevin of turned out not necessarily to be true, not even tinted true. And so, yes, that is something that can be held against you, because you showed lack of good judgment to do your research and understand some of the stuff you accused Kevin of doing, including being the second shooter on the grassy knoll, turned out not to be true.
And on top of that, you know, she was appointed, I think, by Tim Garman. It might have been Mary. They made four appointments: Brad Garbutt, Susan Barrymore, Don Duckett, and Mike Michalak. And he wasn't, he didn't do too much, but he did interfere. But those three, their only goal was to disrupt the meeting and vote against it and bloviate about their opinion that the 2020 election was legitimate and Trump was sour grapes. And then they all quit.
Yeah.
So why would you put her on a board? Well, she claims that she's an upstanding citizen. Well, she might be. She kind of reminds me of Mimi on the Drew Carey show. But, she claims to be an efficiency expert. I guess that's what she did out at Central Valley, I'm assuming, Shasta Lake City. She's got a retirement of $33,000. But don't worry, her husband retired at $155,000 at city manager out of Shasta Lake City, so they're probably getting by okay.
Well, you know, the price of eggs is up a little bit right now.
What's an efficiency expert do?
You
must be sent to college to be an efficiency expert.
I don't know. I would think it's pretty simple. You have a dollar, and a dollar goes out. You just, that's efficiency. You don't do a dollar and send two out and say we're not being efficient. It doesn't seem like it's a very difficult job.
You stand around and say, did you really need that extra ink pen? That cost us 85 cents.
Yeah. We've got so many positions, in our government that is supposed to be about efficiency, and their position actually is the proof that we don't have efficiency.
Well, we've got our own doge on, but anyway, getting back to, Don Duckett.
Yes.
It sounds to me like they're the ones that would like to bully us. And it's sour grapes because she's not being able to get on a committee. And well, they hold it against her because she quit the last one she was on.
Well, and, you know, that's the funny thing. That's the liberal mindset. They get onto the public speaking, and they just beat the heck out of Patrick Jones, Chris Kellstrom, Kevin. But that's not bullying. That's just having a comment. So when now the tables get turned and they get the light shined on them like a cockroach, all of a sudden they're being bullied. You don't get to do that. That's not how this works.
And that is what made them change the public comment to later, because there would be 10, 12, 15, maybe even 20 people would go up there one right after the other and bloviate about the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, as a realtor, back in the days when I was president, I had to travel the state. And imagine having 900 realtors, 900 to 1,000 realtors in one room, because we would have these big conferences for 3 days. And we would just sit there and have these general meetings. And you would sit there and we'd be talking about something, whatever it was. And you would have literally, Nick, in front of 1,000 people, you would have 20 people get up and say exactly the same thing over and over and over and over. And like, okay, we've already heard that 17 times. We don't need the 18th. So I totally get what you're saying.
You know, I went to a City of Reading meeting when they were talking about legalizing the smoke shops, not the smoke shops, but the medicinal marijuana.
Yes.
Places for where you could go get your medicine. I'll bet there was 100 people. And Patrick was mayor at the time, and he'd say, we get it. We've listened to 30 of you. We get it. And they'd just keep going up there and saying the same thing, like they're going to make the difference.
Yeah.
You know, I get the biggest kick out of the City of Reading in the cannabis situation, because when Brent Weaver was on the council, there was a greenhouse business here that made greenhouses, probably specifically for marijuana growers.
And
they wanted a lot out at Stillwater Business Park. And Brent and a few of them said, no, we don't want those kind of businesses in our community.
Yeah.
The next city council, oh, yeah, open her up.
Well, you know, it's
and
funny.
That one went to Red Bluff, and I think they've got over 30 employees now.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know, we as a state apparently voted to legalize marijuana. I have never done it one time in spite of traveling all over the world and partying with a bunch of great people. I never did it. But I don't begrudge you if you do. We've made this system for these people where it's so expensive, and I don't have any sympathy. I mean, I believe me, I've had to go show houses where grows were and talk to people who are in the business, and they made money. I don't know if they're making as much now, but you're taxing them to death, so it's forcing the black market into more profit because these people that are trying to run an air quotes honest business are being taxed literally out of existence. So, you know, whatever tax you have on any other industry, put that on the marijuana industry. This, you know, it's the citizen that visits the shop and lays out the money. It's not some secret cartel that just only visits these cannabis businesses. It's actually voters.
I dare say that
have the same tax rate for everybody.
I dare say before they legalized the smoke shops and smoking marijuana and growing marijuana and stuff around town, the illegal growers were contributing more sales tax money than what the danged legal taxes they're bringing in.
Well, I would argue that's not true because they would go buy thousands of dollars of supplies, take it up to the hills, destroy the property, and then we had to spend thousands of dollars to clean it up. So I'm not sure we actually had a net gain there, sir. Are you looking over my shoulder?
No, our producer just yelled about something. I tried to see what was going on. Anyway, I was reaching for my gun.
Oh, fair enough.
I thought maybe somebody was throwing rocks through the window with an AK-47 standing behind it. Well, yeah, but, you know, the...
So I'm not sure there was a net gain when you figured out the sales tax for all the stuff they bought and then the cleanup cost in the middle of the wilderness. I'm not sure there was a net positive gain on that.
Well, all they're worried about is the taxes presently right now so they can pay for their unfunded pension liabilities. For the city of Redding's about $25 million this year.
Well, and again, here goes here's the stupidity of the government. They're making it so expensive that the people will not be patronizing these establishments who are trying to be legal, and they're going to go to the black market. So not only did they not raise tax money, they probably cut it back, and I guess if that's their intention, it's a sly way about doing it, and the people who are going to go buy marijuana, they're still going to go buy it from the local neighbor, you know, the local dealer, because it's getting too expensive to do it legitimately.
Yeah, and he's sprinkling a little fentanyl in his, and it's got more bang for the buck.
Like I said, I've never done it one time. That's a statement of truth. I can prove it. I don't begrudge it. I mean, you know, we have beer and people smoke cigarettes. I don't really care if that's what you choose to do. It's your life, and that's what it's about. So, don't forget, folks, today at the 3 to 5 Sweet Shoots at the Manton Corners, they're going to have a lady singing solo, and so it's just a chance to go out and meet some people and hang out in the middle of the wind and the rain.
Laura Hobbs was on the show after this last week, and they had quite an argument, and she's not giving it up.
Oh.
She's going right ahead with what she believes is right, and she has a very compelling argument. I think they meet every Sunday, 2:30, at the community room down at the Reading Library, if somebody wants to go listen to them.
Oh.
They're going to get signatures and try and force some kind of amendment to our charter county to get rid of the voting process that we have.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to wondering, why did they put up a fence at our voters' registration's office when it's supposed to be transparent? They felt threatened by certain people. They should have got a temporary restraining order.
Well,
I mean, to put up a fence and you can't go past here, you got to sign in to go in and observe, and they make observing so hard it's ridiculous.
Yep.
There needs to be a change there, and the supervisors realize that. They don't agree with the way Laura's going at it. She doesn't agree with the way they're going at it. So we'll see how it pans out.
I don't understand. If you go buy a beer, cigarettes, you got to show an ID. Why not making the biggest decision publicly of voting? Can you not show an ID?
I believe that's going to happen.
I hope so.
Trump's touching on that.
I sure hope so. That would really be a way to clean up what we've got going right now.
Clean up the voter rolls.
Yeah, well, that would be that'd be part of the step too as well.
Maybe the city of Reading ought to go after the 100-year-old people drawing Social Security, and being they found it, they can get a whistleblower reward.
There.
We've got to have a couple 150, 200-year-old people out in the hills.
Well, you qualify as the 200-year-old.
They're not giving me enough to live on. I'm still working.
Fair enough. Well, Nick, it is 9:59 and or 8:59, I guess, and we've made it through another day, and in 2 weeks I'll tell you how my race went.
Okay, and let me remind you, you're listening to KCNRN 1460AM.com, 96.5 FM. Hey, you don't need to be told where you're listening
because you're already here.
Yeah, that's my theory. Why announce it?
Yeah, we're telling people that aren't even here.
So, have a great day. Peace, love, and waterbeds.
Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.